لست أدري ما تراني ظلمة تمر بي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to part 24 of your faith positive Ramadan reminders with me, Abdullah. Today's is titled Wali Sangha, and it's about the spread of Islam in Indonesia and how we as Muslims in South Africa can draw parallels and also how we can become faith positive in this regard. The Wali Sangha were the revered saints of Islam in Indonesia, especially on the island of Java, because they played a role in the spread of Islam there. Wali, we know, is a guardian and friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Songo is the Javanese word for the number 9. So we often talk about the Wali Sangha as the 9 revered saints of Java or the Sumatran Islands. When we look at statistics, we realize that modern Indonesia has the world's largest Muslim population. Yeah, it isn't actually the Arab countries, it is Indonesia. And together with Malaysia, Philippine Islands, there are approximately 250 million Muslims. That's 85% of their population almost. And when we look at Islam and how it spread on that in that region, there's 3 phases. The first phase is from the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, approximately 622 to about the 1100s. And the second phase from the 1100s to the 1500s. And then the third phase from the 1500s to modern times. And of course that started with Sumatra and followed by Java, Malaya, Borneo, Manila, etc. And over those years from the time of Hijra, many people had a lot of influence there. So it started with the Arab merchants. You'll hear about how much they traveled. You'll hear about the Gujarati traders from Randir. You'll hear about the Ottomans. You'll hear about the Emperor Tughlaq. You'll hear about the Chinese and Emperor Zheng. About the woman emperors. So there are many people who were involved in the spread of Islam on the archipelago. But why is it important for us today to talk about this? I'm sure in your Ramadan du'as you've been making du'a for the spread of Islam in our country. Not because you want to convert people en masse, not because you want to be proud about the fact that people turned away from the faith of their forefathers, but like Rabi ibn Amir explained to the Persian king that many years ago, he said, لِنُخْرِجَهُمْ مِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. We want to remove people from the injustice and from the yoke of invalid paths to the justice, the equity and the wholeness of Islam, because we truly believe that Islam is not just a religion, it's not just a collection of rituals, it's a worldview, and that worldview, it embraces our spirit, it embraces our intellect, and it is a paradigm shift that transforms us as individuals, that transforms our communities, that can transform an entire civilization. It can reshape our horizons, and it can remold us totally. And this is so needed in our country at the moment. So when we look at the spread of Islam, alhamdulillah, Islam has spread, but it is slow. We can find a little bit of inspiration in how it spread in Indonesia. Now, modern day scholars talk about 3 parallels. They say, let's look at how come Islam spread so quickly in Indonesia, or rather rapidly, as opposed to a place like India. So the first thing they say, that when Islam was expanded between the Hijra and the 1100s, it was commercial. And Islam and Muslims made a very, very huge impact in their character and the way they had dealings, as opposed to, for example, India, where Muslims came in from Afghanistan, Central Asia, all to loot and to rule. The second thing that they talk about when Islam came into Indonesia was about language. And in India, Farsi was the court language. Farsi was like the elite language. And even though Urdu and Hindi were native languages to that area, they didn't find acceptance as court languages. But in the Malay areas, I mean in Indonesia, the archipelago, Malay remained the official language. It did undergo transformation because there was Persian influences, Arabic influences, but it remained the language of the islands. Now, when we look at the spirit of Islam in our country, we often talk about the language barrier, and unfortunately, so few of us make an effort to actually learn the language or more than two or three official languages of the country. And the third reason they talk about the spread of Islam so rapidly in the archipelago or the Indonesian territories was because in India they had a very rigid and impenetrable caste system, but it wasn't like that in Indonesia and Indochina, because there most of the population, okay, there was a veneer of a caste system, but it didn't filter down. The people were spiritual, they were open. They didn't have it like India, where they were insulated in rigid compartments. They had a hierarchy and a caste structure. So you may ask yourself the question, Umar Abdullah, this is supposed to be our faith-positive Ramadan reminders. Why are you telling us about the history of Islam in Indonesia and comparing it to India and the rapid spread in Indonesia? Well, those three points are something that could be faith-positive for us if you fear that our country is at the brink of crisis and you do want to bring it out of that, and you feel that Islam is the answer. You could read up more about the spread of Islam in Indonesia, Indochina, and draw parallels, the peaceful integration of Islam and how it happened. Firstly, via character. Secondly, via language. And thirdly, you introduce something where there isn't a caste system, that hierarchy system breaks down. And that could well be the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove us from the unjust and situations that we find ourselves in. From me, until next time, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.